Welcome, everybody, to actually our first call of 2012, community call. We took a little first quarter hiatus from our community calls and really, really happy to be back and happy to have so many people say they wanted to participate in this lovely topic, taking the scare out of scarcity. So thank you for your interest and your presence. And I'll start with just one or two logistical things, then we'll invite a couple people to share, and then we'll launch in. So for those of you who've been on a Seven Stones call before, you may know this. We're somewhat odd in the way we run these calls in that we invite you. We don't mute everybody automatically. We actually invite you to be present and participate and not multitask. And we know many of us, and I've done it too on these kinds of calls, are doing several other things. And there will be many opportunities in this conversation to actually participate in either a small group or the larger group. And we invite you to be here for that. So I am here with Ms. Shay Adelson. Shay, give a wave.
Hi, everybody. Welcome.
So Shay and I will be doing this together, and also we are on Maestro Conference. Many of you, if not all, are probably familiar with Maestro Conference at this point, and it allows us to do fun things like actually break down into pairs as if we were in a workshop space, come back together as a large group, and also you can raise your hand, and we can see it virtually. So if you want to talk and you haven't just been able to insert yourself into the conversation, please feel free to press the 1 on your keypad, and it will become visible to Shay and I that you can't get a word in edgewise and want to talk, and we will then call on you. And, wow, there are a lot of people who've joined, so we will for sure probably be using some of that. I think that's it logistically. Shay, anything I missed?
No, that's it.
Okay, good. So we would love, and this is a moment, we can try the just chiming in version, and if, because there's lots of us, it doesn't work, we'll go to hand raising. But we would love just at the beginning to hear from one or two people, and thank you all the people who wrote comments when you registered. That was so fabulous to see and talk to you that way too. But one or two people to just say what attracted you to this particular call, why you're here, and just say your first name, maybe even say what state or country you're in, and then just a sentence or two, and we'll take one or two people.
I'm Carol Rice, and I live in New Jersey in the United States. I joined because I'm in need of restoration, because the business startup I've been working on for a year is in jeopardy of slipping through my fingers.
My name is Jennifer Peterson. I'm in Texas in the United States, and I spent the last 4.5 years in a graduate program to become an acupuncturist. And I'm about to transition come September, October, from being a full-time student back into being a healthcare practitioner.
Fabulous. Hello, Ms. Jennifer Peterson. Long time no talk. Welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone else? One other person who says what interested them or where what they want? One more.
This is Nancy Stone out in San Carlos, California. I am trying to figure out what's next in this third age, whether it's going into the interior design feng shui that I've always been in, or going on a new journey of elder advocacy, family mediation.
Great. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. So we said in the write-up about this class that we were going to dive into the mouth of the dragon of scarcity. And we want to just do that right away. We want to do that so we have plenty of time to come back out. And someone asked a fabulous question actually when they registered, which was about I know that abundance or sufficiency is a great idea, but I don't actually feel it in my bones. And we want to have an opportunity to maybe taste, and then just even in this 1 hour, really taste in our cells, in our center, an experience of sufficiency even in this moment, and then have a little bit of time to look at how we deepen and deepen and deepen, so that we actually go from what I like to call from being a believer in something to being a knower. So I mean, there's lots of things that sound fabulous to me, and I buy into them as an idea, but I actually haven't felt it, like known it in myself. And that's what this question evoked in me that the person wrote. So we want to invite us, even in this hour, to go a little bit from being believers to being knowers. And so let's take a moment to just ask ourselves, where are you present? And some of you also wrote about this when you registered. Where are you present to scarcity in your space, in your life? And how do you know? And this is actually the more, sort of more where we want to focus. Where is it present? But also focusing on how we know it's in our space. Do we know it's in our space because of the way our mind talks to us or talks to other people? Do we know scarcity is lurking or has taken over our whole space because of the way we feel in the pit of our stomach? So there's a sense that scarcity is there, but then there's how we actually track and map it. Because how we track and map it is actually part of the way out of it into the sufficiency. So we wanted to take a moment and just have you drop into a pair. So we're going to move you into a little room, and I think you'll even hear a little bell. It'll let you know that you're in the room, and then you'll say your name to the person that you're in the room with, even though you can't see them, and you just ask this question. Where am I present to scarcity if I am? Like time. Some people spoke about time. The person who just said, I think, Carol, it was you who said, you know, this startup may go south. I could feel a little contraction in my belly just you saying that. So, you know, that's enough to bring up scarcity around money or resource. Or so where do you notice scarcity if it's present, and how do you tell that it's there? So we'll break down now into the small groups. And
we just had, Jen, we have someone who just joined us. So to the person who just joined us, we are breaking into groups. And, Jen, do you want to just say in a brief way what people will be talking about so our new person can know?
Sure. We're going to ask the question, where is scarcity present, and how do I know I'm experiencing it? So go ahead, Shay.
Hey, everybody. Hold on. Just take a deep breath. Maybe take two deep breaths. And on the third breath, you'll be partnered with at least one person, possibly three.
Okay. Does anyone want to share like either a new thought or a deeper cut or even just something you're present to that you want to put in a larger group? About what you see about how scarcity presents itself, how you know you've been hooked.
Well, I'm remembering what you taught me years ago, Jen. This is Jennifer in Texas. And what you taught me years ago, Jen, was that the expression that anxiety is excitement without breath. And both myself and my partner really felt scarcity in our lungs as a restriction in our lungs, in our like our chest, in our breathing.
Great.
That was the first thing we felt.
Yeah, great. Fabulous. Anyone else? Thanks, Jennifer.
Talking about it makes...
Ooh, the person who said talking about it, you go.
It's Carol. Talking about it just makes it so much more present and scarier.
So you can actually feel it growing a little bit as you get present to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, I promise, like I said, we're not going to stay here. And
okay.
but I got it. So you can actually see, which is so great to actually notice, which is, you know, there's that old saying, what we feed grows. Right? So for our purposes, we want to magnify it or bring it into the light so we can work with it. We're not feeding it food so it can get bigger and take us over more. But sometimes it has a little bit of that same effect. But I promise we won't stay. And it's like looking at it under a microscope makes it bigger so we can actually see all the tentacles of it and have more ways to come out. So I want to share a story. Part of the reason why, and I was saying this to Sarah Grace, who was my partner in the exercise, which is one of the things I noticed is there are like little scarcities, little moments of scarcity. So a little bit of a contraction, or a little bit of breathlessness, a little bit of fear, a little bit of oh no, and then the capacity to shift back out and find a deeper breath, a place of it's all okay to stand or sit or walk. And then this really interesting thing that I actually hadn't felt in a long time happened, which is we actually had a breakdown. We had a breakdown at Seven Stones that really was sort of in the space between Gina and I. And I got catapulted into a space of scarcity. And everything I tried, and in theory, I've got a bunch of tools, right, because this is sort of what we spend all our time on in theory, everything I tried didn't work. And what I started to notice was that all of my thinking and all of my planning and all of my figuring it out had scarcity in it, and nothing I was doing to try to talk my way out of it was working. And so I thought, okay, well, you know, learn one, do one, teach one. It was fascinating to watch, number one, how scarcity really did become pervasive because I couldn't get out of it. Started to affect every relationship, every way I was thinking about our business, the way I was thinking about a client, the way I was thinking about my child. I just noticed it was sort of everywhere, and trying to talk to Gina or sort out what the next right move was just wasn't cutting it. Until some really brilliant, smart, dear friend of ours said to me, "You're looking in the wrong place. You've got to get that you're in a deep contraction that I'm now calling the core scarcity wound, the core contraction that was formulated long before there was ever a Seven Stones or there was a Gina or there was a client. And if you can tell the truth and start to see and map that core fear that was having me at the time, you can begin to let it unwind." And so, hence this conversation about really beginning to see the core grip that we get in so we can name it, because naming always, or maybe not always, nothing is always, but naming often has a tremendous amount of power. As soon as Carol said this to me, I started to relax. Oh, right. This doesn't have anything to do with Seven Stones or Gina. This is me with me in this deep fear that I'm going to be all by myself, the core scarcity. There's not enough connection. There's not enough community. I'm alone. And once I could start telling the truth about that and name that, I could see the way scarcity started to drip away from all those other interactions I was trying to fix at this higher level, that none of which were getting fixed because that core place in me wasn't being kind of cared for, held, identified, noticed, whatever you want to call it. So first I would love to just see if there are comments, thoughts, reflections about that, and then we're going to break down again. And I want to just warn everybody, because I guess we've had this request in the past that people be able to go back to who they were with, and we are going to mix it up. So you are going to be with someone new for when we go back in. But in the meantime, if any thoughts or reflections or, yeah.
Jen, honey, this is Shay. You might want to tell people, just in case they don't know who Gina is.
Oh. Gina is the other third of Seven Stones, Jen, Gina, Shay. So that's who Gina is. And anyone want to share or thoughts or what that brings up for you, the story, the anecdote?
This is Nancy, and by saying that you have to go to your core fear, what I've learned over the years is generally that core fear comes from childhood. And if we can go back to our childhood, we can find some answers.
Yeah, and we can do that through story, like I was never, ha, ha, ha. You know, we can do that through story. We can also really, and Jennifer mentioned this by talking about her lungs and her breath, we can also go through the body and go through that core fear that we have and release it energetically, even if we don't know the story. But yes, we often have to drop back pretty far in time to go, oh, right, there's the original moment where I got scared, where I thought there wasn't enough love, enough time, enough connection, enough for me. And when we get in that grip, going back to that moment and unwinding it or telling the truth about it, can just start to release it. So, anyone else want to share what's coming up, what you see or notice? Reflections, ideas.
I don't know if I can be heard. This is Sarah Grace. I'm wondering how we discover that, because, you know, some things that I don't know that I don't know are very, very deep, you know, in my cellular body. And so how does one actually get to what the core contraction is, what the fear is, the core fear?
Great question. Does anyone else want to? Shay, do you want to say anything about that?
This is a great question.
I can go back and say it's possible that through meditation and quietness it will come to you, or through some kind of a body soreness or an ache it will come to you of what that picture is of the past.
An observation that I have is that start where you're at. If there's some tentacle, some hint, then just keep following that back, and eventually you'll get to the source. And even if you don't get to the source, maybe you'll find a good enough point to just cut off and truncate that tentacle, and then you have the freedom to move forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think what, you know, we could actually have every single person take a turn, like, and we'd get a different answer and a different pathway to know what that is for ourselves. And I'm going to give a sort of a cheesy answer in a way, which is the very first step, no matter what method you employ, is to watch what happens. To observe and notice and see if you can stay with yourself to tell the truth about that. And in a little bit, we're going to do a practice around truth telling, just the truth of the moment. But you got to be able to watch and notice yourself, no matter what path you follow. So let's break back down into pairs. And you'll have same thing. You'll have a minute for each person, and we'll come in and say a minute's up. I know it's a little intrusive, but we'll do it anyway. a minute's up, and please switch. And just get to share, like, what do you already know about that core contraction that can take you away from what we say is the truth of our sufficiency, which is always available to us. And then from looking at that core contraction, we'll move into how we rise ourselves up and out and into a felt sense of sufficiency in the moment. So go ahead and pair up, say your name. You'll have a minute, each person.
Take two deep breaths and then begin speaking. We're not going to, the only time you'll hear our voice is at the midpoint to remind you to switch and at the end to remind you to wrap up. And if you have any problems, please press 1 and one of us will pop into your group.
Hey, people. Welcome back.
Hey.
So what did anybody share about kind of core contraction, core scarcity grab, that's the one that's the deepest that can have you hold on to scarcity longer and harder than you might otherwise?
It's Nancy, and I just realized that there's a lot of work over the years that I don't trust myself to trust my wishes and my desires and the direction that I want to go when it comes out of childhood.
Right. So when there's that sense of, so for me, what got triggered, Nancy, was fundamentally some story about I'm alone. Like Gina
okay,
and I are in
yep.
together, I'm alone, right? So which is totally, you know, the childhood thing. And so it's because that got triggered versus just like, oh, we're in a breakdown, there's a little bit of scarcity, I can find my way home. I got grabbed in a way that had me hold tighter because really what it was about was that core contraction around I'm alone. So you can know when you get into that core contraction around trusting yourself or trust, that it's more likely that scarcity will become stickier, harder to find a path and a reminder and a way into the truth of your own sufficiency. And it's not like good, bad, right, or wrong. We all have one of these, right? And again, you know, the more we can go like, oh, right, I'm in that. And I'll just say, you know, one of the reasons I knew that I was really messed up was I could tell that my thinking was all in the vein of I'm all by myself, right? It was like all the thoughts I was having about how to handle the problem and what Gina and I were going to do were like, I'm over here and Gina's over there, instead of Gina and I are together sorting this out. So that was one way I knew. And the other way was just this sense of doubt and fear and my noticing I was tighter and smaller and really far away from her, which is not my normal experience of my relationship to Gina. It's very connected. And so, and no matter what conversation I had, no matter what I did, I was like, huh, I still notice that I'm all alone. I'm all over here by myself. I'm not getting out of it. And that's when I knew to call Miss Carol, who always gets to the heart of the matter, who said,
"Well,
not you, Miss Carol. It was a different Carol, Carol Dearborn, who always, you know, who, if you don't want to get to the heart of the matter, don't call Carol. But if you do, and that's when she said, oh, you're in a trance. It has nothing to do with anything except your core
perfect.
Contraction. And then as soon as she told the truth about that, as soon as she identified it, and I could begin to work with that aloneness, I began to unwind, and drop back in to a safe, you know, cushion of what I would call sufficiency. So anything else for people about what you see, what you notice?
Hi, it's Sarah Grace, and I just want to jump in and say, for me, it was feeling safe and secure. And I didn't feel that way inside myself, nor outside in the world. You know, I was always driven by my fear and anxiety from womb onward. And can I have Carol's phone number?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I should ask her first. But, yeah, exactly. Oh. She sent that.
I need somebody who's willing to confront me.
Yeah. Well, she's your gal then. My God.
Thank you.
So that's great. So, again, it's just noticing, like, oh, if I'm in scarcity, if I'm noticing I'm in my not enough conversation, I can really ask, is there some way I don't feel safe? Is there some way I experience myself as in jeopardy? And I may know that somatically, and I may know it through the way that my mind has started to distort my thought forms in a certain way around, you know, everything not being safe. However that shows up for you, then you can wake up. Then you can go like, oh, right. And then you can actually start to deal with, like, safety. And that will be an incredibly quick route out. Hopefully. Okay. So, more deep breaths. So we want to take our last practice to just begin to say, okay, so there's always these steps of anything we can be aware of, anything we can track about our experience, we can begin to have power with. That's how we take the scare out of scarcity, right? So, oh, right, not safe. Oh, right, alone. Oh, right, whatever our shtick is, we've all got a shtick. Whatever our contraction is, oh, I'm not breathing. Oh, my belly hurts. Oh, I just want to cry all the time. Whatever our thing is, if we can notice it and then begin to tell the truth about it, ironically, the minute we're present to it, the minute we're in truth, there's a kind, in our experience, as we have experimented, Gina and Shay and I, there's a kind of sufficiency that starts to emerge. It's like the beginning of a sufficiency. Like, it's enough to tell the truth of the moment. So we want to do a little practice where you're going to break down one last time. It'll be the last time, and then we'll be together for the rest of the call. And you're going to do what we... kind of a little bit of a repeated question. So if I were to model it, if we were all together and Shay and I were going to do this, I would just say, Shay, what's true right now? And Shay would say whatever she says. She'd say, I'm bored. I'm tired. I'm scared. I'm looking at the trees. Like, it doesn't matter what's true right now. It doesn't even matter what her answer is. Just Shay, what's true right now? And then when the person says, I'm tired, say, thank you. Shay, what's true right now? So you invite the person to just sort of drill down a little bit into what's true. And after, is there a way, Shay, that we can do like a little chime, a little bell or something? But after you've, maybe we'll just do a number of times. After you've done it eight time. So what's true? Thank you. What's true? Thank you. Eight times. So the person who's asking the question, keep track. There you go, a little time. Then you're going to ask. No, actually, veto that. We're going to do it this way. So Shay, what's true right now? Shay's going to say, I'm bored. And then you're going to ask, in what way is that enough? And Shay's going to say whatever she says. Again, it doesn't matter what comes out of you. Don't censor. Don't try to analyze or understand. She's going to say whatever she says. So, and you're going to do 10 rounds. You'll do 10 rounds total. So what's true right now? And in what way is that enough? So person asking the question, you'll ask it 10 times. At the end of the 10 times, you'll switch, and the other person will get to go. And then you'll have you know, 30 seconds to just sort of process or debrief what you noticed about that, what happened about that.
So how about this? When you've each done it 10 times, one of you raise your hand by pressing 1 and then keep talking, and then we'll time it from then. I'm guessing this will be closer to, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. If it goes much past that, then we're going to interrupt you.
And I will, so don't please, person receiving the question, don't give a long thing. Like, well, what I notice is, what's true for me right now is that when I was 7, and just like a thought, a phrase, a word, a smell, what's true in this moment is, what's true right now is. I hate talking about scarcity. What's true is this. What's true is this. And then you get to ask, what's enough about that? What's sufficient about that in the moment? Okay, go ahead.
So,
and I'm going to hop around a little and eavesdrop so I can get a feel for what you're experiencing. Oh, my God, you guys. So I did this. Shay was able to have me eavesdrop, which I know is a little spooky or something, but it's so beautiful listening to all of you. Oh, my God. So amazing. So in the last, I want to be mindful of our time and really honor the top of the hour, which is coming soon. But please, a couple people share, what did you notice about the space you're in right now, what it feels like in your body, and, you know, what that was like?
Hi, it's Sarah Grayson. I just want to quickly say, boy, I really got into, you know, the pain that I've just hidden away for so long, deep, deep pain, and I love this exercise. It's fabulous. I want to find a partner to do this. Maybe Carol will do it with me.
Oh, poor Carol. Carol is going to be so mad at me after this call. Oh, anyone else? Other people?
Hi, this is Lynn.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, yeah.
Just a thank you to you, Jen, for your persistence, because, again, that theme was resolved, that, you know, about events happen outside my control just as I'm affirming my need. And what I got was, as long as people will listen and are able to respond, then I'm okay.
Right. Thank you.
Hi. I didn't understand the second question.
Okay. What about this is enough?
In what way is that? Yeah, I didn't get it. I didn't. Actually, both of us had curiosity about it. So.
And what did you hear? What did you notice that you heard yourself say in response to it, even though you didn't get it? Like, were you unable to respond to it because you didn't get it, or did something come anyway?
No, I just stayed with the first question, what's true right
okay.
now.
Okay, good. And what did you get out of that? Where did that take you to be present to the truth of the moment for you?
Well, actually, it was good to have to do it 10 times, because I thought, you know, it was like a one-liner, but it really helped me realize where I am now in various ways. And I actually like the idea of getting in touch with the now.
Right. And as you get in touch with the now, would you say that there's any sense? So there's lots of ways to define sufficiency, and we didn't get into all that on this call. But is there anything about just being able to be with the truth that has you drop into an experience of, like, all is well, kind of like, it's okay, I'm okay, there's enough here, like a sense of enoughness? Because I'm
actually, I think that's exactly where I went. It was actually very comfortable.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sort of dove in and didn't do lots of definitions of scarcity versus sufficiency and that kind of stuff. We sort of just went together on the path. So I appreciate the leap of faith that some of you took in this conversation. All right, maybe one more what you're present to, or what came for you.
This is Martha. I'll share.
Is this the Martha, Martha, Martha?
This is Martha from Boston. Yes. Hi, Miss Jen.
Sweetheart. Hi. Please share.
Hi. Yeah, so what happened is Larry and I shared, and at first I was like, you know, confronted, and I'm like in this little conference room at the office, you know, tucked away, and I was like falling asleep because I was like, oh, core scarcity, all back to when I was 10, and my dad left, like, really? And but then, like, what was true right now, and as I kept distinguishing it, it just disappeared. So I went from, like, falling asleep to, you know, like, oh, you know, like waking up and it having disappear and not be so tired and thinking about, you know, like what is enough and oh, and I'm on vacation next week, so I only have an hour left of, you know, the office. And, you know, so I came alive, which is really good. And it was brilliant, and it was so simple. It was like simple and elegant and brilliant. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. I want to start, Martha.
Yeah?
Okay. It's Nancy Stone. Hi.
Hey, sweetie.
So thank you. Thank you all so much. It really, so we're 2 minutes to, and I want to just thank everyone. And I just want to presence, like, that Martha Russell, who's on this call, and Gina's in the background, and Carol Dearborn, who's not here but apparently very here on this call, we're all part of the original group that was called the Boston Sufficiency Team that really is the mother and the conduit for all the work that we've been doing at Seven Stones around sufficiency. So thank you, Martha, for joining us.
Yeah,
Carol, for
sure.
Being here, and sisters, and for all of you for diving into the inquiry and such beautiful sharing with each other. Really, really appreciate your community-ness and your investigation and clearly all the work all of you have done. Like, some really thoughtful, awesome creatures on this call, so thank you. And I want to end with two little plugs that we are going to be at a place called the Interdependence Project in New York City. Gina and I are going to be speaking in more depth about what truth gives us access to, and also how it's really related to the teachings of the Buddha. The Interdependence Project is an organization founded by a man named Ethan Nickturn, who wrote a book called One City, which is really a book all about sufficiency, even though he doesn't talk about it that way. And we met him, and we're going to get an opportunity to be part of their community conversations at the end of May. So if anyone's in New York or has friends in New York, it's on the 30th at 7:30 at the Interdependence Project. And then the second thing I just want to say is, for people who really want, like, you saw the simplicity and the elegance of being able to just drop in to sufficiency in the moment. And this summer, for a whole week, I'm going to be in Montana teaching with a Zen Buddhist teacher named Mark Lesser. For people who really want to take a deep and quiet dive into unwinding that scare, that core scarcity contraction that lives in all of our bodies, that really can be gently unwound over time through practice. And we'll be spending a week in this gorgeous Montana retreat center. So people feel
that looks so yummy. We should all go.
So yummy. So thank you, blessing.
So,
well, please feel free. Sign
up.
I know.
Information
and
information about that. The retreat
right on
Montana.
Our website. So both the Interdependence Project evening and the Montana retreat are on our website, sevenstonesleadership.com, and you can email any of us, Jen, Gina, Shay at sevenstonesleadership, just like that, Jen at sevenstones, or Gina or Shay, and we can give you more information or answer any questions that you have if you want to talk to us more, or if you just want to communicate about this conversation, too. We're happy to.
Thank you. We honor you.
You.
We love you.
Thank you all. Have
great
a beautiful
call.
Weekend.
You as well.
Enjoy this gorgeous day.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all. Bye.